Gracious Heavenly Father, for this day, for the hearing of your word, for the word made flesh, for Emmanuel, you who come to dwell with us, we give you thanks and praise. As we now reflect upon your presence, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God in flesh made manifest. Amen. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. This is the lens through which I have asked us to join together in preparing for the coming of God. It is a lens in which we look forward to God to be with us. And in our preparation, we also hear that God who comes to us will be the God who bears the name Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. Exciting stuff, right? Real exciting, right? And as I was looking at this again over this past week, it came to my mind, sin? Me? Come on, you ever look at it that way? You ever hear that? Yeah, it's great that God's coming. It's great that Jesus is coming. Let's celebrate. Let's have a great time. We're in the party season, as it were, as we celebrate for the light to come into the world in which all the darkness has come around us. But then it causes us pause, or at least me pause for a moment to say, wait a minute, he's coming because I'm a what? Did you just call me names, God? He comes because of our sin. And sometimes that's kind of hard to accept. I mean, how often do you really look hard into the mirror? Denial. And I'm not talking about the shave or wash your face or do the, but I mean really look into the mirror and examine your soul. No, it ain't pretty. So I went and I decided to take a look. They use the word here, sin. And I go, okay, Lord, we're to look at your coming to us, God, to be with us, to come and save us from our sin. Well, what's that sin? Well, we look at the Greek word used here for sin. It means to miss the mark, to err, to be mistaken, to miss or wander from the path of uprightness and honor, to do or go wrong, to wander from the law of God. Sin. Sin. And our text this morning focuses on not just sin, because that's where we like to go sit and rest and hear John the Baptist. Because it's a perfect text to sit down and rail against each and every one of us on how bad we are and how we need to improve and what we need to do to improve. But Emmanuel, God with us, John the Baptist coming, I think has a different way, a different approach if we really look at the text in a little bit different light. And we consider, who is Emmanuel? Last week I asked that you read the Gospel of Matthew with the idea of Emmanuel, God with us. And what I found is in the midst of that, God with us comes in the darkness of our lives to bring light. In the darkness of our sin to bring light. We sang that in our gospel hymn, our gospel song in the first verse. In the darkness, God comes to bring light. So the text focuses, I think, on three important aspects for our preparation for God with us. Those things are repent, live, and bear fruit. So let's begin with repent. John the Baptist tells us what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So what does it mean to repent? What does it mean to repent? What does it mean to say,
I'm sorry?
Now, have you ever met anybody that's come and apologized to you and said, I'm sorry, but you know they don't mean it? You just can tell that it's not meant. Because what does it mean to say, I'm sorry? Who am I saying I'm sorry for? Who's confessing? Who has contrition? If it's not firmly held deep within that individual's heart, who's the confession for? Is it for the person you're apologizing to, or is it for them? It's really for them. It's for me. If I go to apologize, it's to unburden my soul because I've done wrong. But then again, I've been taught certain lessons throughout life. I was in a Navy leadership course one time, and another chaplain who was in the course said, you know, you should never apologize. If you listen to some TV shows and that, apology is a sign of weakness. Now, is that really what's happening when we say I'm sorry? You could be, there's one command that I worked with that put it this way. Admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. Hey, you need to repent. I didn't have anything to repent about. You know, actually, you're the one who needs to repent. You're the one that wronged me. I had nothing to do with it. You ever heard that from people? Admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. Seems like it's the front pages the last few months. That's not repenting. That's not contrition. That just leaves it where it's at and nothing has changed. Repentance means turning back to God. It means to believe in God's grace with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind of his saving work in Jesus Christ. It's God coming to us and giving us life. When we repent and we confess our sins and you're unburdened, what happens? Life, peace is brought upon you. So we prepare for the coming of Emmanuel by turning to God. The second thing that we can do, second aspect of preparing for Emmanuel is revealed in what? In our living. How do we live? We are called to live in our baptismal grace. We're called to live in our baptismal grace. What does that mean? What does that look like? What does it mean to live in your baptism? In the waters of baptism. What happens when you wash? It cleanses you. If we go back to the Middle Ages and that in Europe where they didn't bathe a whole lot, how was society? Other than, yes, they had flowers at weddings because everybody stank. But how was the rest of the, what was their physical health like because they did not bathe? It was horrible. If you look at the same time period in other countries, we can go to Asia and that where they bathed regularly, we don't hear of massive outbreaks of disease. By washing, there's a cleansing that takes place. Physically, there's a cleansing that takes place. Spiritually, at that time, there was pools they've uncovered where people would go down to the water and there's lots of ritual washing. Why would you ritually wash? To wash away the sins, to cleanse your heart and your mind, to take that deep breath and be made new. In our baptismal grace, what happens? We've been washed again, and we've been blessed with the Word and the Holy Spirit. One time, it's been washed away. What does it mean to live in that? What does it mean for you to be washed and to be made anew?
To feel free.
Free. Free to live in God's grace. To feel, to live free in God's love and His embrace. So one thing we do is we prepare for Advent and Emmanuel by recalling our baptism and the promise that God makes to us in that baptism, in His Word and in the giving of His Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. And you've been washed clean and new of your sin. The third and final aspect, out of all of those comes bear the fruit of repentance. Bear fruit. Now, have you ever thought about what fruit you're bearing or giving or what you're producing? Does it look really good? Does it look really bad? Do you think sometimes, like me, that you're going to be in that category where they're going to come along with that axe and throw you over there on the fire? What does it look like to bear the fruit of repentance? You do it every day. The Holy Spirit is in you and moving in and through you every single day. What does it look like? How are you bearing that fruit of repentance? Your good works. Works that you may not even identify. You ever have anybody come up to you and say, "You impacted my life at this point in time," and you go, "Huh? I did what? Who are you?" "I don't even know who you are, so what are you talking about?"
I think
your attitude. God works through each and every one of us with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we don't always understand it because through our repentance and living in baptismal grace, we bear fruits of repentance. And we help people be made new again and bring them to God's house and bring them to God's Word and bring them to Christ. And the Holy Spirit is working through us. What we'd like to see is a little bit more tangible signs. Right? We want to see it. But it's happening. It's happening in and what you are doing in your lives. It's an old story, and I think I've probably told it to you before. There was, during the early part of the Iraq War, there was a push in combat and that, and there was a brief pause in operations. And there was a young, he happens to be a chaplain's assistant with the Navy, sitting, leaning up against his Humvee, drinking water like you need to do. And a young Marine came up to him, and they were just sitting there chatting, or the Marine walked by, and he goes, the chaplain's assistant goes, "Hey, how you doing today? How's things going? You need some water?" And they chatted for 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes. Not a big conversation, right? Nothing took place. Just a general conversation. 2-3 years later, the Marine ran into the chaplain's assistant again, and he thanked him. Why did he thank him? Because the young Marine told him that he was on his way to kill himself. And because he had stopped him and just asked a simple question. Not even knowing that that was taking place. The Holy Spirit worked through him and saved a life. We live in a society where seeing is believing, right? If I don't see it, it doesn't exist. But in reality, what is life for us as Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit, living in our baptismal grace, living lives of repentance? What is it? Believing isn't seeing. We see things by faith, and therefore we see by belief. Believing is seeing God working in and through our lives. And He is working in and through your lives. So through repentance, through living in your baptismal grace, through bearing good fruit, prepare for Emmanuel. And in that preparation, reflect on those things this next week. Read through the Gospel of Matthew again. Where are you seeing Emmanuel in your life? To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.